club football, he pisses all over him. So
yeah. It's just Messi. We all know what Messi can do.
A lot of flair, a lot of skill.
People might forget the names, but the streets certainly won't.
Hello, bonjour, ciao. Wherever you're listening to this, welcome back to another For the Love of Lists episode. And it's a big one today. We're talking relegation. Not everyone's favourite topic, but I'm afraid every season, three teams go down. And I was thinking back over the years to some of the best relegation races we've had in the Premier League. And a lot of them were in the noughties. So I had to get on noughties football expert, Mr. Ollie Jenks from Team of Our Lives. How are you doing, sir?
I am very well. Thank you for calling me an expert. I don't think anyone's ever given that such high praise on my life.
Well, that's good. You're very niche in your ways, and you know that. I think that was the best time for footballers. I'm sure you will agree as well.
Oh, 100%. Those that have been following my recent TikTok success and me opening Panini stickers and football stickers, the ones that get the best reaction and have had hundreds of thousands of views, or like the Frank Lampards, the Gerrards, the Roonies, the Henrys, all from the noughties. So I think we're onto something.
Oh, that was the bit I missed on your intro, actually. I should have said football podcaster, YouTuber, and TikTok sensation.
TikTok sensation. Do you know who, are you on TikTok? Do you know much about it?
Not at the moment. I know bits about it, yeah.
Do you know Ollie Ball?
Yeah.
He started following me.
Oh, nice.
So, I don't want to say I'm a minor celebrity, but I'm a minor celebrity's somewhat acquaintance.
That's it. Yeah, and if the intro hadn't given it away with the relegation, we are looking at the top 10 relegated teams in Premier League history. So, how did you find this one?
You know what? When you said about doing this, I thought, well, that's going to be difficult because I have a fondness for like a lot of different teams, if that makes sense. As much as I am a Manchester United fan through and through, I do like niche players who kind of stand out, and quite often they play for the teams that, you know, are a bit rogue. When it came to creating the top 10, I actually found it quite easy. I think I only shortlisted 11 teams. So we've got one that's got an honorary mention. I actually found it a lot easier than I thought I might have. How about you?
Yeah, I guess I sort of found it easy in that there wasn't loads to whittle down from. I was probably at the other end. If I had like a solid 5 or 6, and then I had to kind of bring some more in. So yeah, sometimes it's really hard to whittle it down to 10. But on this one, I thought it was the opposite a little bit.
Did you go for the teams, as in like they played well cohesively as a team, or did you go for they had a shitload of amazing players? How did they get relegated?
Yeah, so I did a bit of both, to be fair. So
okay,
there's someone here that had really good seasons, like cup seasons, and also points wise. Because you look at the league now, and probably this season, you could probably stay up with about 35 points, and some of these teams were getting, you know, more than a point a game and going down. And there is a bit of if they've had really good players in there as well.
Yeah, that's the route I've fully gone down.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Put my eggs in that basket.
Yeah, so I've got two honorable mentions, but one of them, I'm guessing, might be in yours, isn't in mine. It's Newcastle 08-09.
Funnily enough, that is also my honourable mention.
Yeah, because I mean they had a lot of players, but I just thought part of a team as well was a manager. Like they just had some shocking managers over the time, and they were all kind of past their peak as well. So while they had some names, they weren't actually good at the time.
And it wasn't the greatest squad in the world. You had, Obafemi Martins was probably their best player.
Yeah.
Michael Owen was their top goal scorer. He gets a lot of flack by Newcastle fans. And, you know, I know you got relegated, but he was the top goal scorer. Without him, it would have been more embarrassing. They still had Colaccini, Kevin Nolan, Jerry Barton, Damien Duff. Nicky Butt was still there. Mark Viduka was still there. Gutierrez as well. Andy Carroll was coming through the ranks at this time as well. It's yeah, I think as you said, it was more of a manager issue. I remember that team just being shit, like proper thinking, like, yeah, what on earth is going on? This is Newcastle. And I felt a bit bad for them, which is, I mean, a bit patronising to say maybe. But yeah, that was when they had, didn't they have Kevin Keegan? And then Joe Kinnear come in?
Yeah.
And like, a weird Shearer problem
at the end.
Yeah. A bit weird.
Yeah, and my other one, and this is a little bit of a nod to your co-host, Harry, the 2010 Portsmouth side. So they really didn't get many points at all in the Prem. They finished like rock bottom, but they did get to the FA Cup final. And the year they got relegated, 2010, they had the World Cup that year, and England's starting goalie was at Portsmouth, and they also had Kevin Prince-Boateng, who was sort of one of the stars of that World Cup. And they had a lot of other names as well. One big name when it comes to relegation, of course, is Herman Hrádason.
Yeah,
he was in this side.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not as good as the 2008 squad that won the FA Cup. The Portsmouth team does feature in my top 10, though. I think I had to put them in because Harry can't be here. But we'll get on to that, I guess. But I do want to... I haven't written them down, but I will give a quick mention to Wigan. Was it 2013 when they won the FA Cup?
Okay, yeah, they're in
mind. Yeah, I didn't put them in the top 10 just because I wasn't too familiar with the 2010s. Obviously, noughties is my thing. I wasn't too familiar with the squad or the players. But to win an FA Cup and get relegated and beat City in the finals, yeah, definitely deserves a shout-out.
Nice. All right. Do you want to kick us off with your number 10?
Absolutely. So my number 10 is Fulham 2013-14.
Yeah, they're not in mind, but they were a consideration as well. Good. Yeah, they had really good players. It was Berbatov there at the time.
He was, I think he'd just left for Monaco. Was it Monaco he ended up at? It was something like that, wasn't it? Yeah, he was on the fringes, I think. So, yeah, Fulham is a club that's quite close to my heart because me and Harry used to go and watch him play quite a bit when we were living in Surrey. We got on the train to stop off at Putney, and you know, it was relatively easy from Guildford to get there. And fair play to Craven Cottage, they always have quite cheap tickets as well, especially at the time. So we used to go and watch him play around this time as well. So they finished 19th this season. Their top goal scorer is Steve Sidwell with 8 goals, which somewhat explains maybe why they got relegated. So they had Martin Jol at the start, René Mullenstein in the middle, and they finished the season with Felix Magath of Schalke fame. But yeah, a reason I've put them in the top 10 is because their squad was just amazing. Again, maybe full of individuals, they weren't cohesive, but some games they'd, you know, really go on the front foot and do really well. So Stekelenburg was in goal. I think he's been on number one for the Netherlands. John Arnorisa, Johnny Heitinger, you know, in the Netherlands squad as well. Hangeland, Sidwell. Special shout out to Patsim Kasami, Swiss guy who scored that legendary goal. And then went off the face of the planet. they had Mahamadou Diarra, who, you know, formerly of Real Madrid and Lyon. Lewis Holtby, Kieran Richardson, Damien Duff. Damien Duff's been relegated a few times as well, by the way.
Yeah,
he's definitely up there. Hugo Rodriguez, Scott Parker, Clint Dempsey, Darren Bent, Moussa Dembele. They had Senderson, Adel Taarabt was there, Brian Ruiz, and Berbatov left during the season, I believe. So that squad is really, really good. And when they got going on the front foot, they got going. They scored goals, they just conceded too many.
Yeah, that was a bit. There's a few Fulham sides like that, weren't there, that scored quite a lot of goals.
Yeah, there's one more recently with Ranieri. Remember when they spent like 100 mil on players?
Yeah.
They went straight back down. They had like Andre Schürrle and people like that. It just didn't work.
Yeah, that's a good shout. I think having a Fulham side in there is a good shout because they've had a few where you always worry a little bit about playing them, I think. Especially Man United. Man United, over the years, have had some pretty big, you know, Fulham have upset them a few times, actually. Like, as an Arsenal fan, we've generally been all right against Fulham, but they do have that attacking quality that you're a little bit worried about more than, say, a side that's good at the back but doesn't score goals. So yeah, that's a good shout, that one.
Nice.
My number 10, I have gone with the Newcastle side. I've gone with the 2015-16 side.
Okay, I did not even consider them.
So I think, like the what I was saying about managers, Rafa Benitez, he got there in March, and they were pretty down there. I think they were like maybe bottom at that point. And when he got them, when he got hold of them, they started putting results together. I mean, you could just see on the last game of the season, they were already relegated, but they beat Tottenham 5-1.
Yeah.
And that was the Tottenham side that was pushing Leicester in that two-horse race where they finished third. And yeah, some of the players they had as well. You had Tim Krul, who went on to, well, he already had quite a decent career in the Prem, and he's sort of still playing now. Moussa Sissoko, Champions League finalist. Jeannie Wijnaldum, Champions League winner. Papis Cisse, legend. And then you had a young Ivan Toney and Aleksandar Mitrovic as well, who
yeah. I don't
think got a load of game time. But yeah, that attacking-wise, they had a really good side. I think if Benitez was there from, say, Jan instead of Steve McLaren, then I think they definitely would have stayed up that season.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's your mistake, Steve McLaren.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's... I guess because he got away of not being relegated because he left before the season was up. So I'm surprised he's never been relegated before. But yeah, I don't know where he is now. Championship somewhere, I think.
Seems like he took a position at Derby, didn't he, at one point?
Yeah, yeah.
So how long that lasted?
So at number 9, who have you gone for?
Number 9, I've gone slightly rogue. I've gone to the 90s. I've gone to Crystal Palace, 94-95.
They're in mine as well.
Yeah. They're in yours as well. This is an interesting season. Do you know why?
Yeah, because they're so unlucky. They finished fifth bottom and they got relegated.
Yeah, this is the season where the league went from 22 to 20 teams. So four teams were relegated and they were... You know, as close as you can get to not being relegated, and any other season would not have been relegated, but you know, would be the be unlucky ones. So they were managed by Alan Smith, and Chris Armstrong was their top goal scorer. But he scored 19. You know, most top teams, their top goal scorer rarely gets over past 20 now, or their striker even. So it's quite good. They had Nigel Martin, Gareth Southgate was captain at a very young age. Chris Coleman, Ian Dowie. John Solarco, formerly of this parish, I believe. Richard Shaw, Ray Houghton, Ray Wilkins, and honourable mention for Jimmy Glass on the bench, the goalkeeper. He was in that squad. That's when he got loaned out to...
Carlisle.
Carlisle, of course it was. Saved the club from administration. But I have fond memories of Palace in the 90s as well, because they were the first Premier League side I ever saw, which is weird because I saw them. Obviously, I lived in Torquay.
Was that when they were in the Prem then? You saw them?
It was the Worthington Cup. Late 90s, and it was Torquay against Crystal Palace, and just seeing Attilio Lombardo, who'd recently won the league with Juventus at a League Two ground, was quite funny. Got one all draw as well. Yeah, so I'd have a lot of fondness for the Palace side.
Yeah, I'd them slightly higher. I'd them at 7. They got 49 points that season from 42 games. So
which is nuts.
If you kind of cut that back now, that's 44 like by the points per game these days, which that's mid-table. That's proper mid-table. That sort of points tally these days. And actually, a couple of years before they got relegated with 49 points and 42 games as well, which I haven't done the research, to be honest, but it's got to be the most points to ever be relegated from the Premier League.
I think so, definitely. But it's, especially when you see like teams that finished above them, like Oldham and Swindon. You do think. Bit harsh.
Yeah, there's some really good players, as you said. John Solarco, of course. but yeah, he, yeah, they were just one of these yo-yo clubs that kept coming up and down and up and down.
Yeah, and even in the noughties, they were definitely a yo-yo club as well.
Mm. Yeah, but they seem to have turned the corner now on the proper. They've taken the mantle off of Charlton, I think, as that sort of steady Eddie side. Yeah, so that was my seven. My number nine is Bournemouth from 2019-20.
Very interesting. I nearly put them in my top 10, but no, I couldn't in the end. I think they just lacked a bit of je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, the reason they're in there for me, so they've been in the Prem for, what, 5 or 6 years and never really been in trouble, but in this season, they had quite a lot of injuries and they had... Do you remember Ryan Fraser was running out of contract and then he just didn't play?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he left for free. But they've got to be one of like the most expensive sides to go down in terms of like the transfer fees that they got for their players. Maybe not what they signed for them, but they got about 80 million for Nathan Aki, Aaron Ramsdale, Callum Wilson and Josh King. And then, I mean, Ryan Fraser's a £20 million player as well, but he left for free.
Do you know who I think their best player was? I'm not sure if he's still there. I thought Junior Stanislas always scored goals. He was quality. He was good for a fantasy team.
He's a FPL legend as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He was very underrated, I thought. He'd always come with the outcome of the man kind of thing, but... Yeah, I think with Bournemouth, I think, they were very pleasant to watch up until that last season. Mm. I mean, it just didn't work. I think where Eddie Howe deserves a lot of credit is that, obviously, Bournemouth, when they were in League Two, had a 30-point deduction. Eddie Howe...
Blimey, I didn't know that.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a 30-point deduction. They should have been non-league years ago.
Mm.
On the last day of the season... Last day of the season, he kept them in League Two by goal difference. And then ever since then, built them up to become that Prem team we all knew and loved.
Mm.
So, yeah, you can't knock Eddie Howe. I think what he'd done from a 30-point deficit in League Two to turn them into a decent Premier League side, I think that's just as good as Leicester winning the Premier League.
Yeah. I mean, that's a crazy achievement over a long time as well. Like, and I think Bournemouth are one of them sides, a bit like Fulham, that you can't really hate. I don't think anyone hates Bournemouth.
Mm.
Yeah, so maybe a bit of bias as well, me putting them in there. But yeah, I was trying to think, as a team, they probably should have stayed up. But I do remember they had a lot of injuries, like Callum Wilson. If he had been fit all season, that would have been a different story.
Absolutely.
So you're number eight.
Number eight, in honour of Harry, I've gone for Portsmouth 09-10, which is a bit, now I'm thinking about it, it's a bit odd I've put them in for kind of getting relegated and reaching an FA Cup final, but with Wigan, they won the FA Cup and went down, and I didn't really give them a second thought. But I've obviously got a lot of nostalgia for Portsmouth as a Premier League team, being a fan of the noughties. So I think that's where it stems from, winning the FA Cup 2 years previously and just the downfall of what had happened when Harry left and took a lot of his squad to Tottenham. Harry Redknapp, not Harry, my co-host.
he's changed clubs, has he?
He's changed, yeah. So yeah, managed by Avram Grant, which was a weird appointment. They had, as you said earlier, David James, Ricardo Rocha, Mokawena, Bouba Diop, Aruna Dindane, who was like number one striker in Ivory Coast with Drogba at one point, Kevin Prince-Boateng, Tal Ben-Haim, Kanu, Steve Finnan, John Otaka, and Frederick Piquion, who I thought was terrible, but he did score 11 goals this season. Yeah, I thought he was terrible. I thought he was absolutely awful. I remember, whatever I ever watched him play, he just looked useless. He was a bit like a Timo Werner, like... would miss a lot of easy chances. Yeah, it wasn't the best Portsmouth side, but it was definitely one that you kind of thought they had the players there to keep them up.
Yeah, I mean, the season before as well, they were playing UEFA Cup.
Oh yeah, they were playing AC Milan.
Should have beat AC Milan as well, shouldn't they? So yeah,
Ronaldinho was at Fratton Park, and you know, fast forward 362 days or whatever, and you know, they're getting liquidated. But it's, yeah, it's a, it was a sad state of affairs. I think because of the administration issues they had as well, I think that just made it even sadder.
Yeah, that's probably one of the relegations that hurt more than any other, I think. I really like Portsmouth. As I said, there was my honourable mention, very close to getting in. And the fact that they got to the cup final as well just kind of puts the cherry on the cake. At my number eight, I've gone for a similar sort of story in that they reached a cup final as well. They actually won it, though, unfortunately, against my club. It's Birmingham in 2010-2011. And I think this is a classic case of like cup final hangover, because they were safe at the time of the cup final. They're about 13th or 14th, well clear of relegation. They beat us in the League Cup final and just didn't turn up for pretty much the rest of the season, which is kind of understandable in a way.
Is this Steve Bruce?
I can't even remember who the manager is, to be honest, but I think it might have been, it was either him or maybe Alex McLeish, if he was still there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it was Obafemi Martins and Zigic up front.
Yeah, 6 foot even though Martin nine or something.
Yeah, 6 foot nine and 5 foot five or something. But I don't think he played that many games, Martins. And
didn't Martins just play the cup games?
Yeah. But they had a really good defence, or they did the year before. They had one of the best defences in the league the year before because of Joe Hart in goal. He's on loan. It's probably harsh to blame Ben Foster, but it's a little bit like what I thought the Sheffield United drop-off was, because I've got to hold my hands up and say I was wrong about Aaron Ramsdale. When Sheffield United signed Aaron Ramsdale, I said he'd be a massive flop. And they'd massively dip. And to be fair, they did, because they got relegated. But I'm not sure it was down to him. But it's what this gives me vibes of what happened, replacing Joe Hart with Ben Foster. And that probably the main reason for the drop-off from the year before.
Yeah, I can't really remember what other players they had there at this time. So when they had like James McFadden and...
They didn't have any standout players. They just had a good, solid... professional squad of players that would get into most Premier League teams, not necessarily as a starter, but as a squad member. They had, they didn't have a stand-up, but then they didn't really have a glaring weakness either. It was just a good quality team, but yeah, the cup final is why they're in there, because they won a trophy. But if they didn't win that trophy, they probably wouldn't have got relegated. As well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, so I've said my seven. Who is your seven?
I've gone for Blackburn Rovers 98-99. I cannot think of another Premier League winning side that had a downfall quite soon after. So obviously they won the league in 95. 3 years later, they're getting relegated. Or 3.5 years later, getting relegated. There aren't many teams in Europe where that's happened, I don't think. Maybe in Germany. But this was the season where that money from Jack Warner had stopped working. The big signings had left or had just got old or not performed. And it all fell to pieces in dramatic fashion from what was a Premier League winning side to a top 10 side to a side that finished 19th 3 years after winning the league. Managed by Roy Hodgson initially and then Brian Kidd. They still had a decent squad despite losing some of that title-winning team. So had Tim Flowers, Darren Peacock, a young Stefan Henschels, Chris Sutton, prolific striker, Jason Wilcox, who was like captain, Damien Duff, relegated again, Lee Carsley, a young David Dunn, Keith Gillespie, who is, in the sort of just past the prime of his life, really.
Matt he Janssen. Should have been in his prime at that age, but
yeah, he should have been. But things had off the pitch. Exactly, yeah. Matt Janssen in, you know, a couple of seasons after this, he was banging them in for fun. He was awesome. Jason McAteer was on the parameters of this team, and so was Tim Sherwood. So that squad is like 90s nostalgia at its best. Yeah, it was just a shame what happened to them, really. And I think I completely forgot they even got relegated. I just assumed they stayed in the Premier League since winning it until, you know, whenever they got relegated last time, 2014, whatever it was.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've said my seven, Palace 94, 95. I did have Blackburn one up, 98, 99. So, yeah, I don't remember this season that well, but I think the problem is with some of the players you've said there, Damien Duff, David Dunn, Kevin Davis particularly, they were all so young. They had a lot of names you've reeled off there were not hitting their prime until a good 4 or 5 years later at least. And yeah, I think this might be Roy Hodgson's only time, other than I think Inter Milan as well, where he's kind of flopped. Generally, he's a pretty solid manager.
But, I think he left halfway through the season. Yeah,
and so did Tim Sherwood. He left halfway through the season as well, and that's the experience that they need. I remember looking at the squad list and thinking Colin Hendry would be there, but he moved on by then.
So he wasn't Bolton, isn't he?
Yeah, so he wasn't in this team. Tim Flowers was there. Sutton was there, but I guess even though he wasn't that old, he was sort of past his prime as well.
He went to Celtic after Blackburn, right? And he'd done pretty well there.
Yeah, it's difficult to say. Yeah, he did. He did do well at Celtic. I'm not one to bash on the. I've sort of said the SPL is underrated in that time period as well. But I don't know. I guess he's not. He still wasn't capable of banging in 20 goals.
When you got a prime Henrik Larsson next year, I think.
But yeah, I think the fact that they won the league up 4 years before, and they were playing in UEFA Cup this year as well. So they were actually playing in Europe, which I think only one or two other teams that's happened to.
Mm.
And then they would have been tipped to do fairly well with Roy Hodgson coming in, but yeah, it just didn't work at all. So yeah, I've got them at six. Who have you got at six?
This is probably my most controversial one. Now, I said at the start of the show, I'm nostalgic towards kind of talented, skillful players. And this is probably one of the teams that you have a look at their squad list and you go, whoa, how on earth did that team get relegated? I've gone for Stoke City 2017-2018. Did they make your top 10?
I was thinking of them. Yeah, they didn't make mine. And that was because I didn't go down the route completely that you went down of names. But their names, the names on that list was loads of Champions League winners and stuff, weren't
they? Yeah, well, absolutely. And like they've gone on since then to do good things, and before then as well. It's just when it was obviously the season before was the fallout of Tony Pulis, and he'd obviously just, you know, kept his boring brand of football where Stoke were a mainstay of the Premier League for quite a few years. They brought in Mark Hughes to try and, I don't know, at the end of the previous season, I believe, to try and inject a bit more. Because with the players they've had, that I'll go through the list of players in a minute, but while I'm reading out that list of players, a lot of them are quite talented in an attacking sense.
Yeah.
And then they finished the season with Paul Lambert as well. So you would have thought there are two good managers there who probably should have got something out of this team. So let's go through the players. So Jack Butland in goal at the time, you know, he was tipped for great things. I'm not quite sure why he's still playing in the Championship. I thought he was pretty good. Eric Peters, Joe Allen, you know, just after being at Liverpool. Kevin Wimmer was, you know, playing for Belgium. Kurt Zouma, whatever you think of him. Stephen Ireland, formerly of Man City. Glenn Johnson, who's been there and done it all. Saido Berahino, I mean, it's a bit of a dodgy one because, you know, he was just never became the player he should have been. Choupo-Moting is probably the interesting one. He recently won the Champions League with Bayern Munich and has been playing along the likes of Neymar and Mbappe at PSG since his time at Stoke, which is just ridiculous. Barcelona rejects Ibrahim Afellay, Charlie Adam, Bruno Martins Indy, Ryan Shawcross, Mame Birim Diouf, Manchester United prodigy, Darren Fletcher, Peter Crouch, another prodigy from Barcelona, Bojan. I mean, he was meant to be the next big thing, wasn't he? He was meant to be Messi before Messi. Jesse on loan from PSG as well. And, of course, the man with the iron calves before Jack Grealish, it was Jordan Shaqiri, who I don't know how he ended up at Stoke. It seems a bizarre transfer to me. But
he must have got paid a lot of money.
Oh, well, yeah, but then he went to Liverpool, which is probably, you know, managed to get him quite cheap and won the league and the Champions League with him. So, yeah, that team, it has a mixture of experience, youth, and individual pace merchants and people with skill.
Yeah.
But if Mark Hughes couldn't get anything out of them, and Paul Amber, I don't know who could, there must have just been a dressing room that just didn't get on. That's the only thing I could think.
Yeah, it's got to be. Looking back at some of them names, I think they've got to make our top 10 at the end because... Yeah, as you said as well, they're not all like they've gone to Stoke for that last payday. Some of them did some great things after and are still playing Premier League football now. I can't really remember what went wrong because I think they ended up as well. Like West Brom were down and out, and then West Brom did get relegated, but I think Stoke got relegated before West Brom did.
Yeah, they finished 19th, so maybe. Mm.
Yeah, so yeah, that was a big one as well because they had a solid 10 years of not being anywhere near it. It's almost like when they started to get them good players, they got worse though.
Yeah,
when they were just lumping it up to the strike.
I mean, as bad as it sounds, I think as soon as they got rid of Tony Pulis, they had an identity crisis. And didn't know what brand of football they wanted to play, which is why they had a mixed match of players. They were spending too much money. Their wage bill was one of the highest in the Premier League. And they didn't know who they were. Maybe it's just a mixture. I think it was probably a colossal mixture of loads of things.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was a really good names. And I think some of the other sides with a lot of good names, they're generally a lot of like English players, but these have got a lot of sort of foreign imports in there as well.
Yeah, particularly Bojan as well. I still cannot figure out to this day. I don't know if Harry said, but he went to watch Barcelona in the mid-noughties and saw Bojan come on for Messi and thought he was just as good, if not better. This is before Messi was really? Messi. This is before Messi was Messi. One of my best friends as well went to a pre-season tour. Barcelona played Inter Milan. And apparently, Bojan and Ronaldinho like, were playing Zanetti off the park. So a weird career for Bojan.
Yeah, I think he's playing in Japan now, or he was with...
He was in the MLS, wasn't he?
Was he? Yeah, I don't know if he played with Iniesta at one point. Or maybe I'm thinking of Torres, actually.
Torres went to see the same team, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so number five.
Number five, I think a lot of football purists are probably going to hate me for putting this one mid-table. But I've gone for Nottingham Forest, 92-93. And they finished rock bottom. They finished 22nd.
I didn't have them in.
You didn't have them in?
Because I know how good the players were, but I just thought I couldn't put a team that finished rock bottom in there.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
But I completely get why you put them in there and why you put them at five.
Yeah, so it's Brian Clough.
Yeah.
Is a lot of the reason. I think what he'd done with Nottingham Forest, obviously towards the end, didn't go too well. I think that was a lot due to his personal health and lifestyle choices. But, yeah, the what he'd done for Nottingham Forest, I think, deserves a kind of nostalgic mention. Going back to the team itself, though, Stuart Pearce in his prime.
Yeah.
Roy Keane. Team of the year, Roy Keane.
Yeah.
And the, by them getting relegated, Dan Man United is probably the biggest favour. If we didn't get Roy Keane after that relegation, the treble never would have happened and all the more recent success in the noughties. Steve Stone, Scott Gimel, Teddy Sheringham was sold during the season as well, which is what I think their major problem was. Funnily enough, it was Nigel Clough that was their top goal scorer this season with 12 goals, which obviously isn't enough. If they had not have sold Teddy Sheringham to Tottenham, maybe they would have done a bit better. But as you said, yeah, finished rock bottom. I didn't think of it like that. I just thought that team and the icons of Clough and Pearce and Keane and Stone maybe should have done a bit better, because I think they still might beat some good teams in that season. I mean, you could argue that the Forest team of 98, when they went down, was it? With Pierre van Hooijdonk and all those players, was a good team as well, to be fair. But yeah, I think that just for some of the... You think Pearce and Keane, that is 90s, isn't it? And Sheringham, that is 90s football. And I think I had to give a bit of a nod to that, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to sound like a hypocrite, actually, because the next team on my list at number five did finish rock bottom as well. But, well...
Hypocrite.
They finished bottom. I wouldn't call it rock bottom. So, Southampton 2004-05.
Okay, interesting.
What I liked about this, I just liked, maybe I've taken it a bit of a funny way, this one, but I really liked the relegation race this season. So I remember on the final day, all four teams, West Brom, Palace, Norwich and Southampton, pretty much were all out of danger and in the relegation zone, and all spaces between 17th and 20th throughout the season. So I think from memory, Southampton were like winning their game. So they were staying up, and then I think they ended up losing it or something like that. So they went down. But this team, so a lot of the team that were there had got to the FA Cup final a couple of years before against Arsenal. And I think James Beattie would have moved on by then. But this was the year that basically the coming out year for Peter Crouch. So this is what earned him his England caps. This is what earned him his move to Liverpool. And yeah, he's just got some really nice names in there. You've got some older players like Graham Lasso, it's kind of near the end of his career. Kevin Phillips, still in his prime, really, I would say. You had the Svensson brothers, and then, I mean, one player I really liked, he wasn't there for that long, Omri Kamara.
Yeah, I liked him at Wigan as well, to be fair. He scored some bad goals.
And at Wolves, he was there too. So there's some really good players. But, of course, they had Nigel Kwasi in their side, so they were destined to go down with him in there. So, yeah, I just like that sort of crop of players. And, yeah, more, even though they finished bottom, I think they were definitely better than Palace and Norwich and West Brom, really. I think they were better than all those sides.
Yeah, I do agree. It's not a team that I even bothered to look at, to be honest. It was average at best. Kevin Phillips must have got relegated a few times as well, with Sunderland and
maybe Leicester as well.
Leicester and West Brom. He must be up there with Herman Hrødalsson. So him, Damien Duff and Kevin Phillips. Yeah, Southampton side. Yeah, James Beattie, I don't think he was prolific in seasons, but he didn't score as many career goals as people think.
No. He got the one England cap.
Yeah, a bit like Andrew Johnson as well. People were like, oh, he was amazing. He had one good season.
Yeah, which was that season as well that I thought.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, but I'll get your point. I guess in many ways, Forest and Southampton are a bit similar in that they finished bottom, but they were probably better than a fair few teams. Because I think, did Oldham stayed up that year, didn't they? But against that Palace side.
Oldham?
The one a couple of years before. Yeah, they stayed up on the final day. But, I mean, that Forest side was better than Oldham in the
It's better than the Swindon team as well. It's miles better than a few teams.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's that's one that does tend to come up, to be fair. I think I put a lot of that into the Roy Keane and Stuart Pearce basket of they're two of the best ever players to get relegated. But is it the best team? I'm not sure. But
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. But yeah,
I did consider them, so I can't say I overlooked it, but yeah, maybe they should be in there. But now on to number four.
My number four is Middlesbrough, 96-97.
Okay, now, I've got them higher than this, but okay. I agree.
Being a noughties aficionado, I could have gone for the 08 team, or 08-09, I think. Relegated in the noughties. I could have gone for that team as well. That was a very good squad as well. But this is the year they got to the FA Cup final against Chelsea.
And League Cup final.
League Cup final, losing both as well, and finished 19th. Brian Robson as a player manager as well. And this is really interesting. So obviously they had an amazing squad. They played good football. And Fabrizio Ravinelli had 31 goals this season in all competitions.
Yeah.
Which, 31 goals in all competitions, and he's still finishing 19th. He's just insane. Had Emerson, Nigel Pearson, Ravinelli, Brian Robson. It was the start of Mark Schwartz's kind of mainstay in English football. Viv Anderson, Nicky Barmby, and, of course, Janino as well. So he kind of was arguably one of the best players in the league and still got relegated.
Well, do you know... He got voted Premier League Player of the Season that year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did, yeah.
Even though they got relegated.
And didn't he get PFA Player of the Year as well? Have any other players got that before? Is he the only one?
I know Scott Parker got some sort of award with West Ham. Maybe the Football Writers or something like that. But that was a weird season because Charlie Adam was also up for an award at Blackpool. So that they just loved giving it to the relegated guys that year. But yeah, that Middlesbrough team is higher for me. But yeah, do you know about the points deduction?
No, I completely passed it by.
So basically,
the season? It rings a bell.
So what happened is, they around Christmas time, they were due to play Blackburn and they called the game off.
That's right.
Short notice. And
they awarded it a 3-0 victory.
Well, they had to replay the game, but yeah, they got docked 3 points. And they did end up winning it later on. But yeah, basically, because of them 3 docked points, if they had actually not got that, they would have been 14th. Because it was really tight. It was really tight. So that 3 points made... And actually, if they had a better goal difference, I think they would have been 13th. So that's how tight it was down there. And... Really, they're the only team you can say in Premier League history that's accumulated enough wins and draws to stay up. But because of that points deduction, that's why they got relegated. They just tick all the boxes possible on this one, I think.
Yeah, definitely in the top five. It kind of reminds me of the we had a Sam Michael, a comedian we spoke to. About he's a Reading fan. When Reading got relegated, and they had a really poor run of form, and they ended up going down goal difference. But obviously, Harry being a Portsmouth fan, remember the famous 7-4 game?
Oh yeah.
So the goal difference was 3 or 4 goals or something. Had they not conceded the difference of 4 goals, or Portsmouth had not scored, could have scored 4 or whatever. That could have kept them up.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, actually, because that was another one where... Well, that's a classic case of promote a team has a really good first season and then struggles in your second. That happens so much. And actually, I think this is what happened with Borough. I'm pretty sure they got promoted the season before, or possibly that was... Yeah, something like that.
They've always had good squads, though. Even now, they've got a good squad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've got... And I think the last time they got relegated, they had two of Barcelona's front three in their side. Martin Braithwaite and Traore as well. Did they have De Jong as well? Well, no, that might be Newcastle. But yeah, Borough have always had good sides. And I've got to be honest, that this isn't my number one, but I was strongly considering it. There is an argument for it. They haven't got the players of some of the other teams, so I can understand why he put them fourth, but what they actually did that season was insane. And I think sometimes you get relegated and you think,
do you know what? We've actually had a really, like when my number four got relegated. So my number four is Wigan.
Yeah.
2013. And this is another one where I think, you know, they're going to be happy with that season. Ultimately, they've got relegated, but they've won the FA Cup. You could argue with Wigan, they are a really poor Premier League side because for about 3-4 years, they look like going down.
Yeah, and Steve Bruce as well. I think Roberto Martinez, what, he had a bit of fight in them as well. I just didn't like their squad, if I'm being honest.
They didn't have any good players in their squad.
Hugo Rodallega.
He was their best player, probably.
Charles Nzobbia. Yeah. Valencia had joined United at this point.
So I think he'd left Nzobbia by the time they got relegated as well.
Yeah, but remember Jason Kumas?
Yeah, yeah.
He was all right. But yeah, they didn't have any good players.
But I've got them in fourth because, you know, when's the next time that a team's going to get relegated and win the FA Cup? I can't see it happening. And even the next season in the Championship, they got to the FA Cup semi-finals and they beat Man City on the way. Like, and they went down on 36 points, which isn't the best, but again, probably borderline staying up a lot of the time. I know that people say the 40-point mark, but it's so rare that teams actually need 40 points these days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all about the achievement. In terms of players, they're nowhere near this top 10. Probably not even in the top 30.
I think even in terms of players and style of play, I could not justify putting them in the top 10. Although as amazing as it is, I would not want to pay money to watch that team play.
Yeah, I get it. Even the FA Cup final that they won is possibly the worst FA Cup final in the last. It was
a Ben Watson header, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's probably the worst FA Cup final in the last sort of 20 years or so, but it's such a groundbreaking achievement. That's why I had to put them in there. But yeah, so that was my four. Okay. Who's your number three?
Straight in with Leeds 2003-2004, which just ended calamitously.
Yeah, that's the same as me. I got them at three.
Excellent stuff. I quite like Peter Reid as a man. As a manager, I think he's relegated quite a few teams. Sunderland multiple times, potentially. But yeah, it's all to do with the squad. Obviously, they were in the Champions League semi-finals a couple of seasons before this. And it was just one of the most dramatic falls from grace. It would be like a Spurs getting relegated now, if that makes sense. It would kind of, they were one of the better teams in the Premier League. So for them to get relegated, it just didn't make sense. It was just, you know, the way the club was run, it was just stupid. But yeah, players, Mark Viduka, Paul Robinson, Gary Kelly, Ian Hart, Nicky Barmby, Jermaine Pennant, Jason Wilcox again, he's been relegated a few times, Alan Smith, Michael Dubry, David Batty, Aaron Lennon, James Milner, Scott Carson. It was just a squad of players, again, a mixture of experience, solid goal scorers, good defence, and the young, up-and-coming stars of England.
Yeah, I think that most of these players as well ended up going to Premier League clubs and doing really well.
Yeah, if not all.
Like, some of them won the Premier League, some of them won the Champions League after they left. Like, it's mad how this team got relegated. And it pretty much was the same as that team in 01, other than Harry Kewell, who, to be fair, was arguably their best player. But
Robbie Fowler as well at that time, Hasselbank.
They had Robbie Fowler. I think Hasselbank had moved on. I think he was at Chelsea by then. But Robbie Fowler wasn't amazing at Leeds anyway.
No, true.
Viduka and Smith were. And actually, I know he's very young here, but they're James Milner in the place of Harry Kewell. And yeah, we saw what James Milner would go on to be as well, and a very young Aaron Lennon too. Yeah, it's proper. I think this is the biggest side that's got relegated ever. Not the
biggest. Biggest as in squad?
No, as in...
Oh, right, as in like stature.
Premier League-wise. So you could argue Newcastle, but I would say at the time...
Well, Leeds got a more trophies than Newcastle.
Yeah, Leeds have got more trophies. They've got European trophy as well. But I would say definitely at the time, Leeds getting relegated in 2004 was bigger than Newcastle getting relegated in like 2009.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, I think that will upset a lot of Newcastle fans. But when I was a teenager back then in 2004, I remember thinking that was a big thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It'd almost be like Boris Johnson becoming Prime Minister, isn't he? Weird. Absolute tomfoolery. But yeah, when Newcastle got relegated in 2009, I remember thinking it's kind of their own fault.
Yeah. I'm interested to see you've got as number two.
I think our two and one, I think, are going to be completely different.
Okay.
Right, should I go ahead with number two?
Yeah.
Purely for nostalgic purposes, I've had to go for a noughties side. I've gone for West Ham 02-03.
Oh, really? I've got them at one.
Oh, okay. Interesting. In which case, that probably... Okay, no, it's no spoilers. Finished 18th, managed by Glenn Roeder and Trevor Brooking. It just features some of my favourite players of all time.
Yeah.
And again, just... all these players had either done something before or would go on to do something amazing. David James in goal once again would become England number one. Nigel Winterburn was just one of Arsenal's best ever players, defenders. Lee Bowyer was just a solid Premier League player. Michael Carrick went on to become one of the most underrated players of all time in the Premier League. Trevor Sinclair, scorer of the greatest goal of all time, in my opinion. That bicycle kick. He scored a few like that as well, but he scored a couple of scissor kicks at West Ham. Solid player. Jermaine Defoe, one of the best strikers. De Canio, just a legend. Freddie Canute would go on and win three back-to-back UEFA Cups with Seville. John Moncur, Raymond van der Gaal, backup keeper. Les Ferdinand, Glenn Johnson, Titi Kamara, and Anton Ferdinand as well. That squad. And I do feel like the way they played sometimes as well was actually pretty decent. They were only just relegated.
Yeah,
they played well, and I saw this team play in the Premier League this season. I went to go and watch Aston Villa against West Ham at Villa Park, and I saw De Canio score a penalty, and just that team is very nostalgic for me.
Yeah, the reason I said I thought I'd be interested to see you got number two. I was sure you'd have these at number one, because this is the first time I've heard the phrase "too good to go down." I've not heard that
before. Yeah, yeah, true. Well, the next season leads. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But they took points off us. They took points off Man United. They took points off Newcastle. They did the double over Chelsea. So
yeah,
I don't know how they did go down. They got 42 points as well, which is for a 38 game season is the record. And just, the names there, insane what they did. Most of them at the younger end, pretty much all of them went on to do great things. There wasn't many that were sort of big names at the end of their career, other than Nigel Winterburn, maybe.
Les Ferdinand?
Oh, yeah, Les Ferdinand as well. Sir Les Ferdinand, yeah. But, yeah, they're... jumping in all over the place here, but they are my number one.
I'm very interested for your number two then, because if you haven't got this next team I'm thinking of in there, or at least one of their teams, I'll be very, very surprised.
I've got Middlesbrough 96-97
and number two there.
They've got, as I said, they tick all the boxes. They got two cup finals, they got the Premier League player of the season, they've got a guy that scored 30 goals in all comps. They've only got relegated because they got a game postponed.
Okay.
They played some great football. Yeah, just they've got to be right up there. I don't know if I've missed anyone major then. Who have you got a number one?
I've put them number one again, this team number one. Not because they finished rock bottom. In fact, they only won four games in the whole season. But I've put them at number one because their squad, I'm pretty sure, in my opinion, is the greatest squad of players, not just in the Premier League, the greatest squad of players to ever get relegated.
Can I take a guess?
Go on.
Leicester.
No. It's QPR 2012-2013.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and yeah.
I'm surprised you've not put
Cesaro there and all that.
I've not. Well, I'll talk you through it in a second. I'm surprised you. Yeah. I would have thought they would have at least made the top 10. Again, you could argue a lot of these players are past their pomp, but nonetheless, to win only four games in the season, you would have thought they would have done a lot better. So, once again, Mark Hughes at the helm. They were eventually taken over by Harry Redknapp. So, yes, in goal, Julio Cesar, Champions League, multiple Serie A winning goalkeeper with Inter Milan, over 100 caps for Brazil. Backup goalkeeper, Rob Green. Say what you like about him. Chris Samba, one of the most sought-after centre-backs in the world. Clint Hill, QPR legend, solid at the back. Nedam Onua won the league with Man City. Just a bit of a, you know, just an experienced Premier League defender. Bosingwa won the Champions League with Chelsea. Fabio da Silva on loan from Manchester United. Tal Ben-Haim, you know, just a very, again, very solid defender. Park Ji-sung, admittedly not with Man United, but, you know, it's Park Ji-sung. He's a workhorse. Adel Tarapt, you know, off the back of one of the greatest seasons he ever had, the championships for Ronaldinho. Sean Wright-Phillips, you know, at the tail end of his career, but he was still solid and experienced. Esteban Granero, who just got signed from Real Madrid, you know, kind of was looked to replace Guti. Obviously never worked like that. Yeah, Jermaine Genius, end of his career. Junior Hoylett, who's, you know, stayed there a bit longer, a bit of a club legend. Andros Townsend was very young. Stephen Mbia, who went on to do stuff in Russia, was very highly thought after. Played with Lyon as well. Bobby Zamora, just one of the greatest English strikers of all time, in my opinion. Doesn't get the credit he deserves. Jay Boffroyd. Loic Remy, who went on to win shit with Chelsea and Marseille. Yeah. Andy Johnson, of course, we've mentioned already.
Who you said was a one-season wonder.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But still, you know, that experience. Dribble Cisse, who pretty sure became a DJ after the season. And Jerry Barton as well. That side is similar to the Stoke side in terms of, like, some of those players have won Champions League, played at World Cups. I just think it is the greatest team, not necessarily a play cohesive team, but in terms of names, price tags, arguably skill individually. It was a group of individuals, really. You know, Loic Remy, what he'd done at Newcastle as well. I'm just amazed it ended up like this. And then he ended up at Palace and Chelsea and Besiktas and Adel Tarap. So it's just such a great side.
You generally think that crop of players is better than West Ham?
Individually, yeah. Not as a team. I think West Ham probably, if you were to put those two teams head to head, I think West Ham will probably win all day long. As I said, they finished 20th and only won four games that whole season. But as a squad of players, that is the greatest squad of players to get relegated. That's like the Galacticos getting relegated.
How many of those players were actually... I'm looking at this now and I'm thinking Julio Cesar was truly great. Park Ji-sung was truly great.
Sean Wright-Phillips was great. Tarapt was great. Townsend, right,
Sean Wright-Phillips. Sean Wright-Phillips, yes. As well, I suppose. But I'm thinking of their ages as well, a little bit in this. But you look at West Ham, they've got like Canute, Decanio, Joe Cole.
Yeah, but Decanio retired with Charlton after this season, didn't he?
Yeah, but the thing with Decanio in this season, he only played about half the games because he fell out with Glenn Rodot. If he had played, they would have been miles clear as well, because he scored, I think he scored like 9 goals in 18 or 19 games or something like that. They had a lot of these West Ham players went on to play regularly for England, get 50 or 60 caps. Different level.
Julio Cesar, 97 caps for Brazil or something. Bosingwa, same likewise for Portugal. Park Ji-sung was career. Adel Tarap.
Julio Cesar and Park Ji-sung, yeah, definitely stand out. Bosingwa, he's got a lot of trophies.
Yeah,
I guess you could. No, I think you could put. You could probably group him in there. But those three, yeah, those three really do stand out to me. Whereas
you got to think at the time, Loic Remy was like meant to be going on this big move, but obviously the money of QPR.
I remember that. Yeah, he did well at Newcastle, wasn't it? Before
exactly. I ended up getting Chelsea.
I think this side, wherever we end up putting Stoke, has got to be similar to that, I think.
Yeah, they're very the parallels, but I just remember because they got promoted again and then got relegated a couple of years later. And that side, that side had Rio Ferdinand in. You know, so it's yeah, I see where you're coming from, but...
This is like... Because you could...
But when you're talking about West Ham, it's talking about you saying that they all went on to have great careers.
Yeah.
But that's no different to this QPR team. They've had great careers, you know.
Oh, some of them were still having, like Joe Cole did have a really good season. He was in the England setup. Glenn Johnson the next year was in a Chelsea side that was challenging for the title. Jermaine Defoe was in the England setup. Trevor Sinclair was in the England setup. Carrick, he probably wasn't yet in
his Spurs
prime. It took him a couple of years. And then, Canute, within a couple of years of this, he was one of the top goal scorers in the Liga.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, I saw Canute play for West Ham and for Tottenham. Done nothing in both games. Rubbish. No,
it's true. It's a bit like it's a little bit like Diego Forlan in that.
They
were much better in the Liga. In the Liga. But
that'd be an interesting episode to do. Actually, if you ever do a future episode, do the top 10 strikers to do shit in England, but well in abroad.
Yeah, so we're gonna have to muddle this through now. So just on the fact that you've got West Ham at two and I've got them at one, I would say we should put them at one because...
Okay.
So the main points for me are they do have a record of sorts of getting relegated, and that is the fact that over a 38-game season, they've got the most points at 42. Yeah, and four wins... QPR got, I mean, West Ham got two against Chelsea alone. And then,
that's fair enough. Because it's got the mixture of the players and the actual quality on the pitch, as in the team quality.
The only thing that they don't have is a cup run, which I don't know how highly you rate that, to be fair. I've obviously rated that very
high. I've based this pretty much just of Premier League.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So then we've got... Yeah, so you've got QPR, I've got Middlesbrough, we've both got Leeds. So again, I would say that Leeds side, players wise, is as good as QPR. Possibly, to be honest, possibly better than West Ham in terms of your point about the West Ham guys were young. A lot of the Leeds guys were still...
Yeah, I think you're thinking of the Leeds of the year before were far better when they had the Hasselbanks and a bit more rotation in the squad.
Yeah.
Nigel Martin, etc. But, not that Leeds team.
They'd lost, because I know they definitely lost Harry Kewell, hadn't they?
Yeah.
And, Nigel Martin. But then Paul Robinson was England number one within a couple of years of...
When he moved to Tottenham.
Even less than that, wasn't it? I think the very next season he became the England number one. Yeah, I'm just looking at teams that we've got similar up there, and we've both got that Leeds and Middlesbrough teams up there, and we've both got, yeah, I mean, I think I've definitely, there's a couple of ones I've definitely should have put in, Forest and Stoke probably. But yeah, I'd probably say out of all them, Leeds is the one where we've kind of both got it quite high, and it's, I don't know, some of the players in that, I love a bit of Mark Viduka as well.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think he's one of the best to ever get relegated.
As we said earlier with that Leeds team as well, it was like a Spurs now getting relegated. They were a big team, as in, they weren't expected.
Yeah. Are you happy to put them at two?
Let's put them at two, but I won't keep you off third.
Okay.
Because that team is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one. I think the West Ham side is better, but I do agree in terms of the names, it is one of the very best ever. Yeah, I didn't realize they only had four wins. I thought they got
crazy.
I thought they got more than that.
They drew a lot.
Yeah. Oh, that's fair enough. Okay. So they did. Yeah. So the points tally probably wouldn't have been massively.
No, they were rock bottom, but yeah.
I remember they did cause us a few problems in both seasons, the season before as well. Right, so number four. So I'll put Borough here.
Yeah.
And actually looking at this, you probably wouldn't disagree anyway.
No, go for it.
Yeah, they in some ways they could have been number one for me, just because it is heavily reliant on, I'd say, about three or four players, but in terms of what they achieved that season, they did very well. Right, so this is where it gets interesting now. Number five.
I'd be inclined to put Stoke there.
Yeah, I kind of agree in the fact that you've got to put Stoke in. QPR and Stoke can't be miles apart.
No, again, because Jack Butland, Joe Allen, Kevin Wimmer, Zuma, Stephen Ireland, Glenn Johnson, Berahino, Chupamoting, Afolai, Charlie Adam, Martin Zindi, Shawcross, Diouf, Shaqiri, Darren Fletcher, Peter Crouch when he was still all right, Bojan and Jesse from PSG. It's a very similar to the QPR frame, and maybe that is a recipe on how to get relegated. But Shaqiri went on to become arguably, still doing stuff for Switzerland. And,
Liverpool now.
Is it
Lyon? Oh, is it Lyon now? Yeah, that side. I don't know how they got relegated, saying their names like that. And I don't think they struggled before, did they?
No, they were like pretty much top 10, finished 10th every season, didn't they, on the Pulis.
Mm.
But with the players he got in, I think Pulis fell out of the board, didn't he? Because they kept signing players like Bojan and Shaqiri, and they just weren't effective in the Tony Pulis signing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to take Southampton out of mine, because I think, thinking about it, that Forest 92-93 side is like a better version of Southampton, but I would push for Wigan in there on the basis that if we're talking teams and not individuals, and I know a lot of this is individuals so far, but to win, when's the next time someone's going to win the FA Cup and get relegated? I just can't.
Oh, didn't Watford make the final a few years ago and they got relegated?
They got relegated the season after.
Oh, right.
And that's what often happens. That's what happened with Southampton as well. They made the cup final and then.
Aren't we judging? What is the title of this podcast?
Top 10 teams to get relegated in Premier League history.
In Premier League history, not in FA. Yeah, so the FA Cup, I don't know if that's relevant enough. I didn't see it like that. I can understand why you're fighting for Wigan. But I repeat what I said earlier. Would you pay to watch that team play in the flesh? Would you pay a ticket? I'd pay to watch that QPR side just because of all the names on the list. I'd want to see those players play in the flesh to say I've seen them play. I wouldn't want to pay 40 quid for a ticket at the JJB to say, oh, I've seen an out-of-form Jason Kumas or Jimmy Bullard. You know?
Trying to get me with my own podcast. I love it. Alright, I'll concede a little bit on that.
Put him 10.
So who do you... So, for me, I'd probably say Blackburn next then. Because if you're...
to use my title, Premier League history, this team actually did win the Premier League, a lot of this team.
Yeah.
And a lot of the youngsters that were there, well, not a lot of them, but some of them, then won the Premier League with other sides as well.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm happy to put that Burnley.
So they're at six. So now we've got two sides, I think, that, well, I think I'd probably put Palace next, 94-95.
Yeah.
Because they, so you could really pick either one of these. You could pick the 94-95 or the 92-93. Both of them got 49 points. I've gone with the 94-95 on the weird thing that they finished fifth bottom.
I think, absolutely. Yeah, that's just completely unfair.
Yeah, I mean, any team with John Solarkin still gets relegated.
Yeah, absolutely. By technicality as well,
they
shouldn't have got relegated as well. So if the title of this podcast is like the greatest teams to got relegated, technically, any other season, they wouldn't have got relegated. So by ipso facto, that is, in theory, that could be number one.
Yeah. All right. So next, probably one that I overlooked a little bit. Forest.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a good squad, but it's Stuart Pearce and Roy Keane doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah. But that season was weird because, even though they finished bottom, they still got a really respectable points total. I think they got pretty much a point a game again. So I don't know if it was just easier pattern to get. But I mean, to get almost a point a game and still get relegated. And they had, they were having a couple of players doing the heavy lifting, but for one of their players to get in the team of the year in Roy Keane and another to be England's left back for the next few years. And I think Stuart Pearce was England captain for a few matches, maybe under Venables or something like that. Yeah, there's some real quality in there. And as you said, Brian Clough as well. 92-93 Forest. So we've got 9 and 10. So this is where I'd say put Wigan in because they've, I know it's Premier League history.
Okay, go on then.
But they did get a decent-ish points total. It can be looked at two ways, really. It can be looked at the last few seasons, they were really fighting relegation and managed to stay up. But then you could look at, it must have been a really quality Premier League season for them to finally be beaten and get relegated. And then what they did the year after, playing in Europe and getting to the cup semi again. I know a lot of it's leaning on cup pedigree, but okay, so they're in. And then it's just number 10 now.
I'm leaning towards Portsmouth. It was the last great Portsmouth side.
And then I'm happy to put them in. They were very, very close. Very close to be in number 10 of mine anyway. It was almost a flip of a coin.
Yeah, it's a bit sad not to put a Fulham side in, to be honest, but I think they were also, the last...
Harry would have a go at you, right?
Yeah, that's true. Slapping my arm. They were the last great Portsmouth side before the trouble happened. They've been nowhere near the Premier League since, and to still retain some of the great players like Kevin Prince-Boateng and Kanu and David James and stuff. Was admirable to say the least.
Yeah.
Still made an FA Cup final as well, so I'm using some of your logic here.
good argument that. Yeah. I think, to be fair, you kind of have to use it on that one because if you just do it by their league season, then you're struggling a little bit.
I'm not sure why Frederik Pikkion remains one of my most hated players. I'm not sure why. It's really annoyed me.
Mm. Although, did they get a points deduction that season as well?
They might have. You have to ask Harry, I'm afraid. They might have.
Yeah, that might be why they were so low. I'm going to have a look, actually. Yeah, they did. They should have had 28 points.
So they wasn't really rock bottom. They just got a points deduction. So yeah, that's another one, just like Middlesbrough. But that was 9 points. I mean, you're really struggling to come back if you've had a 9 point deduction on you. So yeah, right. So that concludes our top 10. I'll read it back. So we've got Portsmouth 09-10 at number 10, Wigan 12-13 at 9, Forest 92-93 at 8, Crystal Palace 94-95 at 7, Blackburn 98-99 at 6, Stoke 2017-2018 at 5, Middlesbrough 96-97 at 4, QPR 2012-13 at 3, Leeds 03-04 at 2, and West Ham 02 at 3 at number 1.
Happy with that?
Yeah. Fair few noughties players will be in these teams, even if a few of them are in the 90s as well. But yeah, maybe we could do another one of these, make a team of relegation 11. So you've got Jason Wilcox, Nigel Kwasi, Herman Hrydason, Damien Duff.
That'll be a massive, massive debate. Yeah.
Yeah, of course, we're talking about, the biggest teams to go down and stuff. Everton could be that next team.
That's true, actually. Yeah, I suppose it would be more similar to an Everton going down that Leeds, wouldn't it? But then Everton haven't played in the Champions League any time soon.
No, but I'm not sure they've ever been relegated. I'm sure.
They're one of the few teams that have stayed in the league, haven't they? It'd be interesting to see how it plans out. But again, they've got a good squad. At the start of the season, they were flying, weren't they? But Andros Townsend scored a winner against United.
They'd still have two strikers worth 50 million quid. I don't know why Richarlison's worth 50 million quid, but he does always get valued at that by people like Barcelona. So, yeah.
Damari Gray as well at the start of the season. Everyone's put him in the fantasy team. What's he done since? With Van der Beek and Dele Alli there as well at the moment. I just don't know what's going wrong.
Yeah, who knows? We might do this in a few years and they'll be on that list, possibly. But
you'll put them first because they'll win the FA Cup.
Yes. Could be. Who knows? But yeah, that was a nice one. Little throwback. Going back to 90s, which... A little bit out of your comfort zone, is it?
a little bit. Well, considering I put a team in the 2010s at number one spot, so it's completely out of my comfort zone. What was I doing?
Yeah, that was very good. Cheers again for coming on. And appreciate I know you've it. Been on before a couple of times, but you've got a TikTok. You're a TikTok sensation now, so maybe you want to plug that.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you got a vintage nostalgic kick out of this episode and you want that nostalgic kick to continue, head over to TikTok at Jenks Ollie. So JenksOllie. I open vintage Panini and Merlin Premier League packs. Just a bit of fun. It's got over a million views as of speaking. Also do a noughties podcast with Harry at Team of Our Lives on all social medias and Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
Very good. Thank you again for coming on, and remember to keep it.